The BMC Amy Z Talk and Coffeeware Modern Mainframe Podcasts have joined forces. You can find your favorite episodes from both podcasts, as well as new insight and discussion at soundcloud.com/modernmainframe.
Welcome to another exciting episode of the BMC Amy Z Talk podcast. I'm your host, Jill Perez, and today I'm happy to welcome back to the show Rick Slade, Executive DevOps Solutions Architect from BMC CompuWare, and Jake Leon, Associate Product Manager. Today's topic is the third of a three-part segment to discuss enterprise DevOps and modernizing your approach to the mainframe. Jake, I'll let you take it from here.
Thanks so much, Jill. Rick, you find yourself talking to me again.
You know, I enjoy it, Jake. It's great. I have enjoyed this time together, man.
Oh, yeah. I've enjoyed it, too. The last two episodes, I think, have been great and provided a lot of value to people who are looking to get down this journey or who are in the middle of their journey, quite honestly. So, yeah, really, really appreciate taking time out of your day to do this. And I think it's going to provide a lot of value.
I appreciate what you guys are doing in the labs. I mean, it's amazing what you guys produce on a regular recurring basis. It's phenomenal.
Hey, we owe it to Agile and DevOps. So. So, you know, kind of, you know, where we're at, you know, with the Agile and DevOps journey, you know, we started at CompuWare, you know, 5 years ago. Now we're part of BMC. You know, where was the market and everyone on this journey, specifically to the mainframe, you know, where was everybody in the mindset 5 years ago?
You know, there were 5 years ago, even 10 years ago, Jake. I mean, a lot of what is available today was simply an idea, you know, 5 years ago. We were talking about DevOps as a term, gosh, 15 years ago. And again, primarily a lot of the work that was being done to support DevOps as a practice was on the non-mainframe side. I think we've learned in the last 10 years that software development at a macro level is not really different. It's the, you know, some of the platform idiosyncrasies that make it different. But what I have over the last 5 years, when I came to CompuWare, which was about 4 years ago, there was a lot of capabilities around the software development processes. Most of it 5 years ago was centered around the developer from a UI perspective, and so, you know, a lot of work had been done to provide user interface capabilities that were likened to what a non-mainframe developer had. And there's just simply a lot of things that you could do from a graphical interface that you could not do from a traditional, you know, ISPF or a 3270 green screen type interface. And so, you know, 5 years ago, a lot of the focus was on the interface. And then things begin to evolve. I think a lot of, you look at the software development lifecycle, there's a lot of work that's required to deliver software from an idea to a production state to where it can be utilized. And there are a lot of steps, there's a lot of work, and there's a lot of activity to ensure that it's successful. And so, you know, I think what you're seeing in the industry as it evolves is that more of those capabilities, more of that work that is required to deliver software to a production state is now being supported by technology, by tools from BMC and from CompuWare that minimize the amount of manual intervention in that work. And that's exciting to me. So I think, you know, the big difference is 5 years ago was very focused on UI. I think today you're starting to see more and more and more capabilities and features with regard to software delivery along that software delivery lifecycle. Things like better bill support, automated bill support, support for continuous integration as a means to manage software, support for continuous testing, support for continuous delivery, all through the use of automation. And so tools that we're building to help developers and testers are now, you know, they can be accessed or engaged manually, or they can be engaged automatically through orchestration engines, CI/CD servers. And so what's happening is just more and more of the capabilities and the activities that are required to deliver software are becoming available. They're becoming automated. And I think that's what I'm seeing as it compares, as we compare it today to what it was 5 years ago.
So Rick, you know, with that in mind, where do you see this going? Do you see that trend continuing forward?
I do, Jake. Is my crystal ball any better than anybody else's? Probably not. Maybe not as good. but there are some things I do believe, and there's some things that we are talking about at BMC that I think are critically important. You know, where, you know, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, there was such a focus on the UI. And maybe I'm wrong with this, Jake, but I'm starting to see where there will be more focus on the API, providing service, providing build capabilities as services that can be, you know, run on-prem or off-prem, in the cloud, whatever. But services, true services, to where, you know, that can be leveraged with multiple orchestration engines, multiple CI/CD engines. You've got an organization, you've got a system, a workflow management system, an orchestration system, or a CI/CD engine that you're comfortable with, that meets your requirements well as an organization. Your software delivery capabilities, supporting technologies, should be able to work with essentially any or most of those orchestration engines or workflow engines. And so I see, you know, a lot of effort in building, you know, command line interfaces, APIs that can be engaged, invoked, executed, regardless of automation flow engine, regardless of UI. I think there's actually going to be less emphasis on the UI and more on building APIs that can support all of the activities within that software delivery lifecycle. And where the emphasis and the focus is not so much on how the human interacts with those systems to perform certain tasks, but being able to provide the information in that request to go and execute testing services and subsequent deployment services that can be leveraged regardless of UI. I mean, I'd love to be able to see, you know, the ability to unit test whether you're using Eclipse or Topaz or
VS Code
VS Code or, you know, slap me, but maybe even, you know, a green screen. You know, if you've got the developers that are unwilling to move, they still got a need to test. And so, you know, I think that the development of services is going to be an area of focus for a lot of organizations. And the UI is going to be at, you know, whatever works for that developer. I see that today. You go down any shop, just about, and you'll see developers working from different UIs. I see them working from, and on the mainframe side, we certainly see them, some still doing green screen development, many now doing Eclipse-based development using Topaz, but you'll also see a few using command line interfaces, you know, with their favorite editor, and in executing scripts to do bills and subsequent work required to deliver that code to a production state. And so I think what organizations and what developers need are services that allow them to do the activities they're responsible for in an automated fashion. And so the work that's going to be done in creating, you know, build APIs, testing APIs, deployment APIs that can be leveraged from multiple interfaces is where I think a lot of the work, a lot of the design activity will take place over the next few years.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I mean, there's a ton of value that can be uncovered from APIs and command line interfaces, and being able to work in every type of environment is crucial.
It's going to require a lot of work. I mean, it's going, a lot of these systems and tools are not architected in a way to support that. You know, one of the things I love about what BMC CompuWare has done is that was an approach, an architectural approach that they decided upon, very early, several years ago. And so the work required to, to move us to that paradigm, I think we'll be able to do that in a quick way. But it is going to require work. It is a different way of thinking. Being able to provide, unit testing capabilities or integration testing capabilities, regression testing capabilities, so that they can be leveraged with multiple orchestration engines, different CI/CD servers, and from different UIs. I think is something that you'll see more of as we continue to evolve the software delivery process.
So, Rick, you mentioned, the green screen and ISPF. Is there a timeline that somebody could expect, to get wide scale acceptance and get off the green screen?
It's a great question. It's going to be one of those "it depends" type questions. To move an individual to this technology from a UI standpoint, we're talking hours instead of weeks or even days. I think it can be a fairly quick process. To roll this type of technology across an organization certainly will depend on the size of the organization and the complexity of the application architectures that they're supporting. But it's certainly not something that's going to take a tremendous amount of time. As we talked about in the earlier episodes, I think one of the keys to this is being able to roll these type of capabilities out to developers incrementally. And so to, roll out a graphical IDE and to provide the training to a team. Again, I'm not a big believer in, if you've got, 1,000 developers in your organization, rolling 1,000 out at one time. And sometimes sales may not like what I'm getting ready to say here, but I think doing that incrementally is the best way to roll that out. Now, I think it can be done quickly, but rolling it out to a team and taking the time to learn, what's right, what's wrong with the rollout of that solution is important, because, you don't want to make the same mistakes to 1,000 developers. It's a lot easier to fix it for 10. And so finding that information out quickly, modifying your software delivery system, again, thinking of this as a critical application, making those modifications and then rolling out, learning, continuing to evolve, will make that overall rollout much faster. But, getting a minimal viable software delivery system solution up and out is something that certainly most organizations can do very quickly. Again, if you're talking about a team, then, a two-week sprint should be able to accomplish that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Kind of, what we've talked about before, applying that agile mindset and process to the entirety of it. One of the things that was highlighted this year, specifically with COVID in New Jersey, was, a lot of places are struggling to find and retain engineering talent. Do you see, this transition, this transformation into agile and DevOps, whether it be the tooling provided or the platform itself and just the processes, do you see those helping in retaining, and finding and keeping that engineering talent?
Jake, that may be the most important business reason why an organization needs to look at this transformation as critical to their organization. Software development talent is hard to find regardless of age. I mean, it's not simple for the most part. There are simple tasks and activities in it, I guess, but for the most part, software development is still not overly simple. And so finding the best talent available in the marketplace should be the goal of every HR organization in the world. And again, as we've talked about, every organization, regardless of what business you're in, requires world-class software delivery capabilities. And so you want to find the best and the brightest with regard to helping to deliver, develop the solutions or software that's needed to keep your business at the top. Providing, siloed delivery organizations dependent upon platform is not a way to attract the best and brightest, in my opinion. I think that developers are excited about working on multiple platforms. I know that I was. I don't want to be targeted to a specific platform as a software developer. I want to know multiple languages. And I want experience on multiple platforms to help me from a career standpoint and just to satisfy my own intellectual curiosity requirements.
Yeah, you want to be a Swiss Army knife.
I just do. And again, I guess everybody's not like that, but I think most developers, that's the mindset where they're at. And so not to provide an ecosystem or an environment to where they can or they can't leverage, the learnings that maybe they've picked up in university or in their first jobs, and not be able to apply that to a platform like the mainframe is an inhibitor for a lot of developers. I think by providing an environment that supports the best of modern software delivery capabilities, regardless of platform, can be very attractive to developers. Being able to provide an ecosystem where they can focus their skills on problem solving and the development of code to solve those problems without worrying so much or spending so much time doing the mundane required to deliver that code to, whatever target platform that might be. They want an environment to where the technology will handle that type of work for them, and then they can focus on what's important to the organization and to the business. And that's the type of work that I think excites most developers. So absolutely. I think that transforming the means by which you deliver software can be a tool to recruit and certainly a means by which to keep the best and brightest that you have within an organization. Because, if you're not providing them the skills and the opportunities that they need because of the short supply of developers and software professionals, it's relatively easy to move from organization to organization, and that's not good. So we've got to do all we can in building an environment that these developers can thrive on, and where they can enjoy what they're doing. I think that's absolutely critical, and like I said, that's going to be the best way. That's going to be one of the best recruiting tools you can provide as well. You go to any university and you've got needs to support mainframe code, and they ask the question, how's that, how are we going to do that work? And you show them a traditional green screen environment. I think that limits the possibilities for the developers that are available to you.
Yeah, and absolutely. I wholeheartedly agree. And just kind of an anecdotal story. The university I went to, Northern Illinois, is one of the last schools that teaches mainframe classes, right? We had an assembler and a COBOL class, and I can swear half the class, the more than half. I mean, the hardest part of the class was learning how to use ISPF.
Yeah.
The coding itself wasn't too difficult. It was learning how to do everything in ISPF. It was completely foreign, and it turned so many kids off of, the mainframe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, we've seen it over and over and over again. So that's something that we've got to change. And it's not just the UI as well. I mean, that's a big part of it. You're absolutely right. But it's also, developers coming out of the university today are used to having scripts that either they've developed or have been developed for them to support the build process. They're used to automation with regard to software delivery efforts off mainframe. And so not to provide those same capabilities, you know, is going to limit what they can do or the amount of work that they can do in a designated period of time. But it's also going to, you know, it's work that may not be the most interesting to them, you know. And so not having that is a key inhibitor or obstacle in recruitment or retainment.
Yeah, absolutely. Could not agree more there. All right. Well, Rick, I think, you know, that's all we have for today. And I think this is the last episode of the podcast series. So, you know, I want to thank you for today and the previous episodes too. Fantastic stuff to hear from you.
Matt, I appreciate it. I love your enthusiasm. I love what you guys are doing in the labs, BMC and CompuWare, and our abilities to make software delivery a better thing for our clients and for the people that use them. Is something I'm very proud of. And so thank you for the work that you guys are doing. Continued success. Man, this is fun stuff. I can't wait to see what happens over the next 5 years. So thank you.
Thank you. All right. Throw it back to you, Jill.
All right. Thanks, Jake. And a huge thanks to Rick for joining us again today. As usual, a really fantastic series of episodes we've had with you too. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Jill.
For those that want to learn more about what BMC is doing to help enable DevOps, you can visit bmc.com/Amy, and that's Amy spelled A-M-I, or you can visit CompuWare.com. To our audience, thanks for tuning in to the BMC Amy Z Talk podcast. Have a wonderful day.
The BMC Amy Z Talk and CompuWare Modern Mainframe podcast have joined forces. You can find your favorite episodes from both podcasts, as well as new insight and discussion at soundcloud.com/modernmainframe.